I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay great happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Anybody know that poem? Maybe some of you. I don't know what E.E. Cummings had in mind when he wrote that poem of wild gratitude and praise 75 years ago, but I think it's a pretty good poem for this most amazing day. It is Pentecost, after all, a day of new beginnings and of exuberance and joy, a day for tongues of fire and rushing wind, for bright red banners and an abundance of languages. Today, we tell the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it is quite a story. Pentecost was and is a Jewish festival, and in the first century, many pilgrims would make their way to Jerusalem. The city was bustling with people from all over the place, and in one particular house, Jesus' friends were waiting. That is what he had told them to do. After 40 days of coming and going, appearing and disappearing, sharing meals and opening eyes, the risen Jesus bid his followers farewell. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," he said, "and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then he was gone, finally, really gone. The disciples were left to wait, and that's what they did. They were just sort of hanging out, worshiping, being together, passing the time, as the streets of the city filled with visitors, all the people in town for the festival. And that's when it happened. Wind, fire, and lots of languages. I have to confess, I can't really imagine what it must have been like for a Galilean fisherman, James, for example, a person who had grown up in one small place, speaking only his local language of Aramaic, to suddenly find himself speaking Phrygian or Parthian. I still struggle with French after how many classes now? I don't know what it must have been like for this group of small town folks to suddenly be speaking languages from all over the world, languages they have maybe never even encountered before, let alone studied. But I do know what it's like to hear my own language in a place where I didn't expect to. You've had this experience too, haven't you? Traveling far from home, in a place where the people all around you are speaking a language that you don't really understand. The words around all a sort of incomprehensible haze. And then suddenly in a cafe or a crowded street, you hear someone speaking your own language, and it cuts through the fog like a beacon, every word clear as a bell. You know what that's like, right? That is what the languages of Pentecost are all about, I think. They are about people from every place, every background, hearing a word of grace that they can understand. Suddenly, the Phrygians and the Elamites and the Medes and the Pamphylians are all on the alert. Suddenly, in this busy, chaotic city, there is a word for them. Up until this point, the story of Jesus has basically been a local one, taking place in one particular spot with people from one particular culture. And suddenly with Pentecost, the horizons are widened as far as they can go. Suddenly it becomes clear that the future is wide open and the good news is truly for everyone. We have this moment in our weekly worship service where we hear something a little bit like the scene on that first Pentecost. And as you see, we've been drawing that moment out in different ways this morning. When we hear the Lord's Prayer in our many languages, it is not just a jumble of sound like a busy gate at the airport. It is, in fact, a testimony to all that the Spirit has been up to in the past 2,000 years. All the people who've been empowered to share the good news, all who have brought it to new contexts and cultures, all who have treasured it and cared for it and passed it down lovingly to others. Behind the many languages that fill this sanctuary on a Sunday morning are innumerable stories of faith. In innumerable places, countless examples of the Spirit continuing its work of making the good news of Jesus understandable. On this most amazing day, we celebrate all that the Spirit has been up to. But that's not all. We also celebrate the faith of our young people today. Our confirmands have spent the past 2 years reading and discussing and writing and reflecting, and today they affirm the promises made over them in baptism. Today they say, yes, I want to continue in Christian faith and life. I want to keep walking this path. The students were required to write faith statements in preparation for today, articulating what faith means to them right now, and I'd like you to hear a few of the thoughtful things that they shared. As I see it, Caetano writes, faith is a relationship with God built around trust and knowing you have somebody there for you. We are made right by God through faith rather than by what we do. God is there for us, and we have been saved by his grace, and there is nothing that can take it away from us. There are many ways to say thank you for God's gift. We can be good to others and not think of only ourselves. We can follow the Ten Commandments and ask for forgiveness. Lastly, to finish with something that is very important to me, live with love. Jesus taught us how to live well with others, Yatich writes. He taught us to love God and to worship him. He helped people in need. The Holy Spirit is always with us and is always here to guide us. When God limited himself in a human body, writes AJ, he felt the pain we feel. He went through all the temptation we go through, all because he loves us so much. He taught people, did miracles, forgave sins. Jesus welcomes me and heals me as I am, Alyssa writes. This therefore has gradually become a truth I firmly believe in and attach first and foremost to my faith statement. Jesus does welcome all everywhere. A simple act of kindness and going out of your way to help others is one simple way of sharing this. Standing up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, as Jesus did for the woman about to be stoned, is another way through which Jesus' love can be experienced by others. You see what's happening here? The students are carrying on the work of the Spirit, speaking of God's deeds of power in their own ways. We need all these many voices, all these many witnesses, theirs and yours too, to make the good news known, to speak it and live it in ways that others can understand. Pentecost is not simply about remembering one day long ago when the Spirit blew the roof off a little house in Jerusalem. It is a day for celebrating all that the Spirit has been up to ever since, and all that the Spirit is still up to today, in the faith of our young people, in our common life as a congregation, and far, far beyond. All the ways the gospel is still becoming understandable, still bringing life from death, still bringing grace and hope and healing to a world in need. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened, says the poem. That is Pentecost for you. That is life with the Spirit. Awake, open, grateful, alert to all the Spirit still means to do, in us, among us, around us. Thanks be to God for most this amazing day. Amen.